I wouldn't expect him to come out and be like, I want to do it exactly the same way that LeBron did. That would kind of surprise me a little bit. But it is interesting how they have tried to, you know, LeBron was very much, it was LeBron's team, and LeBron dominated in many ways. And he had nights where Kyrie obviously did what he had to do. But like, Donovan is not shy of sharing the spotlight, and that's why I think he brings up his guys.
I just think it's interesting of like, it's interesting. I was trying to figure out what he meant by, I'm not going to do it like LeBron. Because there's a couple connotations there. The immediate connotation, when I just saw the text, so obviously that's the first time we heard it, but when I just saw the text, I thought, does he mean in terms of player power and saying who stays and who goes? Because I think that's a part of it that I think if there's something that Cavs fans enjoy about this run, that like they didn't care when the title happened, but once LeBron was... After the title, the LeBron GM jokes became bountiful. I think there were people who were happy when LeBron the GM and their perception was no longer here.
I mean, LeBron, everything that came with LeBron seemed to be very tiresome outside of then the winning part of it, which was awesome. You put up with the other parts of it because the winning happened and because the winning was so cool. I looked at it like this was, we're more of a... We're more of a shared team than maybe what LeBron's teams were.
And by the way, you're not wrong about the exhausting nature of it. I always thought the exhausting nature of the LeBron stuff was just the weight of championship expectations every year.
Oh, yeah. This Cavs team definitely doesn't have that. In fact, we talked about how they almost get overlooked. Like, even today, in like national conversations about who's some of the best teams in the East, people just kind of... They throw the Cavs in like it's an extra, like it's a bonus part of the conversation.
And
it should be the feature.
And so it's funny, like, I don't think we can separate from the things that exhausted us with LeBron from the things we actually liked or just were neutral on. Because once we got to he left Cleveland again, there are people who just turned that into, no, the whole thing wasn't worth it, or the whole, you know, it turning into something that it wasn't. I did find the constant championship expectation to be exhausting. At the same point, like, I do find this... I don't think they're a middling team. I don't want to make it seem like that. There's a part of me that finds this situation a little exhausting. Like, the consistent, like...
Well, I think it's exhausting because you expect more and you want more, but you know what this team is capped at.
And maybe I'm just more used to that. But, like, there's a part of me that, like... Man, I'm happy that Donovan has his guys back. And who knows? Maybe Donovan knows there's going to be a trade made, and this is ground fire to make it seem like he didn't have anything to do with it. I don't know.
Oh, that's an interesting call.
But at the same point, like...
Because that would be what you do before all of a sudden the code red gets called out.
In fairness, like...
Hey, I was the guy telling you. I loved all this.
Love everyone. I don't think Donovan's that guy. LeBron's actually much more that guy.
I don't know. I mean, Donovan does have some LeBron traits to himself. I mean, JB Bickerstaff isn't the coach here anymore.
Yeah, but he never embraced JB.
That's the point.
In the second half of the season. Well, no, my thing is, like, he never would have been like, man, we got JB, we got, you know, JA, we got Evan, whereas...
My point is, when it seemed like it soured with Donovan and JB is when JB all of a sudden was out the door.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting at.
He's like a coach killer.
I didn't call him a coach killer.
He killed one coach?
For some reason, NBA people take that as such a great offense. It's like, oh, I'm called a coach killer. It's like, yeah, like, no, it's like, it's okay, it's fine. But no, like in that instance, yes, that was very LeBron-esque in that he clearly didn't like the coach anymore, and then all of a sudden the coach was out the door.
And the problem with LeBron is he just never liked any of the coaches.
Yeah, LeBron's got a real problem with coaches, yeah. Unless you host a podcast.
He's kind of like a serial dater of NBA coaches. Like, he'll let you get close. Not going to let you get that close.
To be fair, he was swiping right on a lot of really bad coaches.
Well, in fairness, he was given David Blatt. Anyone would seem better than David Blatt. In fairness... He was getting Frank Vogel, okay NBA head coach, and then Darvin Ham, who I think is a very nice guy, but I don't think we ever really figured out what we could do as a head coach.
Yeah, it was bad.
Although he did try and get Eric Spoelstra fired. So,
the one guy that he got that was great, he then was like, I don't know if I like this guy.
I think that was all.
It was early. It was early Spoelstra, though.
I also think it was in return for Pat Riley stealing his cookies.
That might have been part of it.
It was like, oh, you want to go after my cookies? I'm going to go after your cookie. After your guy.
Dwayne Wade said that story as if that was a very serious thing. Like, as if that was the bridge too far.
I mean,
don't take a man's cookies. We got in that plane, and the people that make us cookies said, we can't make you cookies anymore, and he got mad.
If you're tightly wound and let's say LeBron is, you have to be that great. And the one solace, the one thing you have on the planet,
yeah,
is a cookie. And then the guy in charge takes the cookie away. It's at, like, the ridiculous part here is Pat Riley.
I mean, you don't have to tell me twice.
I mean, it's not both. Because I'm pre-diabetic. I'm just pointing out Pat Riley could have done anything other than take a man's cookie.
We both are the type of people, I don't want to speak for you. I'm definitely the type of person that if I need a little bit of just happiness, my happiness meter just needs to go up just a little bit. Food helps with that.
Oh, it's like.
Food helps a great deal with that.
By the way, I would not have taken offense to that.
I just didn't want to.
I think it's pretty clear that food brings me happiness.
I like to give you the benefit of the doubt. I don't know.
You didn't want to out and out fat shame, and I appreciate the hell out of you for it.
Nice try, fatty.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than like when I've been really, really good for a couple weeks, and I just have like a day where I just, and then Vanessa's like, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm damn right, I'm sure." Like, it just that extra little bit of judgment that's like, I didn't need that in that moment.
Oh, I like that Vanessa's like, are you sure? I always tell Elise that she enables me in many ways. Because I'll be like thinking I'm all right and then everything's good. And she'll be like, hey, we could get pizza tonight. And I'm like, wait, this isn't helping. This isn't helping.
We have some of those moments too. But mostly when I'm really, really good. Like, I'm actually in a really good spot right now where I just haven't had sugar for 2 weeks. And I'm not saying that for any other reason than to say this. Like, there was a moment where I felt really, like Wednesday was just, I was starting to get whatever I've had this week. I was starting to get run down and I've been stressed about, you know, some other stuff and just full blown stressed. And I was driving home feeling bad for myself and I was like, I want some ice cream. And then I was able to say, no, you don't. You just feel bad about yourself right now. That's good.
That is good.
But usually if somebody else says it, it's like, you say it again, I'm going to snap your neck. Yeah.
How it works in my house is I'll have that moment in the car where I'll have that the same thing, like I want ice cream, and then I'll come home, and somehow my wife knows that that's the thought that I had, and she'll be like, oh, got you a bowl of ice cream, and I'm like, yeah, this isn't helping.
Yeah, this is, you and I are both, I think, very, very similar in that we'll, like, our energies will mirror each other often.
Yeah, we've joked about that before, the idea that, like, when I come in and I'm a little sluggish, you are also sluggish. And when we both feel like we're just, like, ready to roll, then it matches that as well.
And it makes sense that we would have that with our wives as well. Because, you know, like, there are times where I'm like, I think we should get some ice cream tonight. And Vanessa was like, I was literally just thinking about that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? True love. True love, true friendship.
That's what it is right there.
And that's what people say about us.
So you can see how LeBron got mad with the cookie. Because I would also get mad with the cookie.
I would just be more mad. It's like, you don't take that away from me. I'm just more of a defiant person naturally.
Well, your boss shouldn't be the one telling you what you can and cannot eat, even though their job is. Like, Phelps one time went off. I know, Phelps went off. On the idea that Zion Williamson, like being a basketball player, you should be in shape. He's like, the one thing you should be if you're a basketball player, you should be in shape. Maybe you shouldn't have the Doritos. Maybe you shouldn't have the Pepsi. Maybe you should just put those things down. Do the endorsements for them all day, but like then maybe don't eat them as much because you should be in shape because you need to be if you're going to be a basketball player, right? And I understand that there are certain things NBA teams should be able to tell athletes that's different than me and you, but like the concept of somebody being like, you can or cannot eat that, don't love.
Mac, you're gleaming on the mic there.
I was going to say, too, like, especially for LeBron, where historically, like, the guy doesn't pay for anything. And so if he's getting on the plane and it's the people that they give you those cookies on the plane.
Well, it was so they work with the team is the stories. And like, and so he developed a relationship with these people that they work on the team and they're the ones that the team has. And then they got a kick out of making him these cookies. Like that,
Pat Riley even took their joy.
That was kind of how Dwayne Wade had told the story, was that it was almost as if it was just as important to them as it was to LeBron, because there was like a kinship attached to them being like, LeBron, we made you these cookies because we know you love them, and then LeBron loving them.
So back to Donovan Mitchell's comments about
steals joy.
There is, I think it is interesting that there was, it wasn't a defensiveness, and I don't want to paint it that way.
LeBron's not flying Delta is the point here.
But there was. I'm not going to make that line. But there, I do think it's interesting that multiple times when asked and compared to the 2016 or the 2014 through 2018 Cavs, this team has really gone out of their way to try and, you know, like praise them and say we want what they had, but also distance themselves from it in a very interesting way that I don't.
Well, so they should. And here's why I find it incredibly interesting. And here's where the Cavs, I think they shouldn't take blame for this, Nick. But I do think they do have to take some culpability. You can't walk 3 feet in that building without seeing something honoring the 2016 Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Cavs have not removed themselves from the shadow of what that 2016 team is. And they shouldn't. They should embrace LeBron and everything that that was and how cool and awesome and great it was. But, I mean, it's very similar to if you're on the Cubs right now and you go around Wrigley Field and everything's the 2016 World Series title because it's the first time in 100 years and it mattered so much. Same thing here with the Cavs fans and with what that meant. Like, and that's hard. That's hard as a player to kind of, I don't know, erase that.
I mean,
like, Donovan's got no association of the 2016 Cavs.
So I think I kind of got to go to this, my rebuttal. Let's say Donovan went to Dan or Kobe or anyone and said, can we get a little more celebration of us up? I think my rebuttal right now, and I'm not trying to be a chotch about it, would be, yeah, hoist a banner.
I think you would say that's fair. I think you would say that's 100% fair, but it doesn't take him out of the shadow of the 2016 title and what that meant for not only people in this area, but what that also meant for the franchise. And anytime you're in that building, the people I'm talking to right now, you guys know it, you can't go 3 feet without seeing some acknowledgement of what that title was and how great it was.
You're right, but I gotta say, maybe that's why you need to be a little bit more LeBron. Like, you were, like, when he was done in Utah, he was just done in Utah, and I don't think it was simply about just topping out in the second round of the playoffs. But if Donovan, listen, I know maybe he's already a little walking on treacherous waters here because he's got, murked J.B. Bickerstaff, as it were.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, there's a part of me that goes like, hey, Donovan, if you know you'd play better with a 6'7" wing who can shoot the three, maybe go tell him that. You don't have to go full LeBron. Very few do go full LeBron. Maybe we need more of that.
Maybe. I just wonder if he's tired of the LeBron convo because it's an association to the team, but it's not an association to his team. Almost like, you know how LeBron said he was chasing the ghost of MJ? I wonder if Donovan is almost chasing the ghost of LeBron here.
He is. And by the way, I don't think it's as simple as just win a championship and you catch him or surpass him. I don't even think you need to do that because I think there are people who enjoy the lack of complication with Donovan that you didn't have with LeBron, or that, you know, Donovan feels more like your star and LeBron was everybody else's star. At the same point, like, man, you want to get out of the second round of the playoffs, maybe tell him what you need. And it doesn't have to go and say, trade that dude, trade that dude, trade that dude. But let's be honest, there's the personal relationship which Donovan has with his teammates, which he stepped into an existing ecosystem, and he thrived. That's without overpowering it. That's incredibly commendable. But if you really want to make your own legacy here, I can't imagine 3 years in, Donovan doesn't look at this and go, "We're just going to run it back again."
Well, I mean, especially after what we watched in the postseason, where Donovan was just taking over himself, and he clearly felt like nobody else on that team was going to be able to offer him up something. I mean, he did the thing that he was scared of doing in that postseason, and that is trying to take over like he did in Utah.
So, like, there's a part of me that I don't want him to be anybody but Donovan Mitchell. There's another part of me that goes, you know, you could learn something from LeBron by just being a little bit more like, hey, guys, I'm 29. I want to win an NBA championship, and I want to do it here. I love the guys we have. It's not about I don't like them. But, I mean, we've seen, listen, there's the personal and professional relationships of Darius and Donovan, and I think both are in a great spot now. I don't think the professional relationship was good a year ago because Donovan wasn't comfortable in the role he was given and felt like he wasn't a big, Darius didn't feel like he was a big enough part of the success.
Right, to the point where Darius has denied it, but we know what we know, where Darius was trying to get his way out for a stretch.
And so I kind of think, like, man, maybe this is the offseason where if you look at this and go, well, we've done it for 3 years and we've topped out in the second round 2 of the 3 years and we've been gentlemanly swept when we've been ousted all 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I do go and say, you know, maybe it's Jarrett or Darius, just make a move so we can get different pieces around here. Instead of, I cannot buy.
Well, maybe he has said that, though. I mean, there's, again, take it for whatever it's worth, but they were involved in the Durant conversations.
I think if he had said that, I mean,
because the end result of the Durant conversations was Durant didn't want to come here.
So your point is valid, but then the summer of almost won't happen. If Donovan wants changes, there will be changes. Instead of just, hey, we got to see what more we can get out of this Craig Porter Jr. kid. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But now that again, in a year's time, I don't want to hear Donovan upset that they haven't made those moves.
Right. Because
you could have pushed this thing wherever you wanted it to.
I think this is very solid criticism if it were to be 5 or 6 months from now.
216-474-0092.
I mean, it's solid now, too, but, you know, like 5 or 6 months from now as well.
Yeah, but it's more solid then.
That's right. That's right.
What do you make of Donovan's comments about not being like LeBron, not running this like LeBron, and which part of this do you think extends to the LeBron part of it? We've got, in case you missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.